It's time to tantalize your taste buds. It's time to fork this with Intoxicate. Here is Kate.
Welcome to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Slentz, food lover and restaurant recommender right here in Westchester and Fairfield counties, diving into all things delicious when it comes to chefs, events, news, and more. Now, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know we're coming off of a long holiday weekend. I myself hosted about 7 people for Turkey Day, which I have to say is on the smaller side for me, usually up to 25 people. And I love entertaining. I love making dinner. I love, you know, kind of putting all that together for people. And I know that's not the feeling everybody gets. I know sometimes people get a little crazy and feel like it's very hectic. But I really enjoy entertaining and had a really good time leading up to Turkey Day. It's so funny because I am so type A. I have lists everywhere if it comes to my grocery shopping list or, you know, all of the dishes that I'm using for what, you know, side dish and what the turkey is going to go on. And I had my complete plan for the day. So it's very funny. I woke up on Thursday at 5 a.m. to put the turkey in the oven, which I'm going to get to in a little bit. And from there, my day started and went to the gym, was able to get that in, and came back and finished up all of the things I had to do, and family arrived fairly quickly after that. So it was a really nice day. Spent a lot of time Wednesday night doing some prep work. So that's always a nice little tip there, is to kind of get some of your stuff done the night before so you can entertain. You know, sometimes I feel like that's my downfall in the past, is that I get stuck in the kitchen sometimes with these when we're entertaining or having people over for dinner, because I'm trying to get everything ready and I'm trying to get the timing right. But this year I got it right. I got it right, and I was able to kind of visit with people a little bit and just pop in the kitchen every once in a while to check on things. So that was really, really nice to kind of get that. And I actually looked good. Usually I'm sweating from being in front of the oven and the stove, and I don't have time to wear what I want to wear, and I always think I'll change and I never do, but I actually pulled it off this year, so I was kind of thankful for that. I'm really thankful just to be surrounded by friends and family and have a really nice day. And I want to talk to you a little bit about my turkey, because this is the first year that I got a turkey from Stu Leonard's. And let me tell you, based on the feedback from my family and my own experience, I am going with the Stu Leonard's turkey from now on. That was the juiciest bird I think I've gotten in years. And it was just so incredibly delicious and flavorful. And a friend of mine told me, you know, to get your turkey at Stu Leonard's, because they have them fresh, no antibiotics, grain fed, you know, they're right off of their farms, and it did not disappoint. And I also, because I was headed to Stu Leonard's to get the turkey, I'm one of those people that doesn't like to run around too much to pick up all of my ingredients. I also grabbed some cheeses, some salamis and some dried meats for my charcuterie plate. I got the gravy there. I got the potatoes for my mashed potatoes, everything I needed to make my stuffing. So it was kind of my one-stop shop this year for everything that I needed for Thanksgiving. But I have to say that turkey was pretty amazing. And I think the other thing that helped is this year I cooked it in my convection oven. If you have a convection oven, highly recommend it for any kind of roast or full-size bird that you're cooking, because the convection oven cooks it a little bit more evenly. And if you've cooked a turkey at home, you know sometimes you have to put the foil over it to protect the skin for a little bit so you're not burning that too much. You really don't need to do that with a convection. You can put the foil on the end if you think it's getting a little bit too brown to protect it, but you really don't need that because the air is kind of circulating within the oven to kind of get everything moving and to cook it more consistently all the way through. And that worked out really perfectly. We had a 23-pound bird, so it took about 6.5 to 7 hours to cook it. But it really, really came out fantastic, and I was really happy to do so. And now, of course, my house is full of leftovers from the sweet potato mash and the, you know, baked potato mashed stuffing. I've got some cheese and some crackers left over. So many different things, still stuck in the fridge. So I'm basically using all my leftover ingredients, you know, the things that I bought to make everything, as well as the turkey carcass, to make my own homemade turkey soup, which I also love doing every year. So that's kind of my plan today, as we're hunkering down after this snowstorm, just to kind of sit here and do the radio show and then pop over and start my soup. So I'm excited about that. Today is also Giving Tuesday, which of course is really just a really nice holiday every December 3rd. It's a global generosity movement, basically, to unleash the power of people and organizations to transform their communities in the world. So it's really fun. It was created in 2012 as a simple idea to kind of just encourage people to do good. And it's a great way to kick off the holiday season. Now, of course, if you've tuned into the show or you follow Intoxicate at all, you know that I am a huge, huge supporter of my heart charity, which is Feeding Westchester. They do a fantastic job basically spreading the love and spreading the food, if you will, all over Westchester County to the various organizations and soup kitchens that really need it. And they do such a wonderful job raising the awareness about the 1 in 5 in Westchester County that are food insecure. And they have so many different programs and ways that you can get involved and help donate. So they did, I logged on at 8 o'clock this morning because Facebook, of course, was doubling all of the donations made through their donation portal. So I gave to Feeding Westchester in the hopes that Feeding Westchester would, you know, then qualify for Facebook's matching program. So really, really fun. But of course, you can give at any point in time to Feeding Westchester by visiting feedingwestchester.org. And again, you know, they do so many interesting things, and they really work hard to make sure that people are getting fresh produce. And they've really changed, I will say, at least my misconception about what a food bank looks like. You know, if you've gone to their warehouse, if you've visited before, if you've worked with them before, you know, it's really interesting because you think people are donating canned goods and, you know, boxed mac and cheese and whatnot. But they have actually provided more than 3 million pounds of fruits and vegetables to, you know, families in our area, which is really, really wonderful. And 40% of the food they distribute is fresh fruits and vegetables. And that's really amazing because, you know, you really want to provide a nourishing choice to support wellness, health, strength, you know, to not only to children, but the entire family. And some of the really interesting programs that they do specifically with children is that they do have this nutritious food program with a mobile food pantry and food assistance programs to make sure nutritious food items are getting to children. And they also have this very wonderful backpack program, which I will tell you was kind of almost hit the nail on the head for me visiting Feeding Westchester in Elmsford, visiting their warehouse, because, you know, after touring this entire facility and seeing all the amazing things that they're doing, the last thing I kind of saw were all these backpacks lined up. You know, I had asked, what is this for? And they basically said to me, you know, there's a lot of children who receive assistance when it comes to breakfast and lunch during the day at school. But when they go home on the weekend, they don't have any food to eat. So each year they assemble nearly 60,000 backpacks of child-friendly meals for elementary school children who need it most. And each backpack contains more than 7 pounds of food, which is enough for 6 meals or more that kids can microwave or prepare when adults aren't home. So really just amazing, amazing things that they do at Feeding Westchester. So I really highly suggest, you know, to learn more, or if you're, you know, it's the holidays are here, maybe you're looking for a way to volunteer this holiday season, or even just to make a donation, I would highly suggest contacting them via feedingwestchester.org. So just a lot of really wonderful things that we can do in our community. And of course, I love to hear about people doing wonderful things in their community. So you can always hit me up on intoxicate.com and intoxicatefoodie on social media, both Instagram and Facebook. I love, love, love that. And I'm really just kind of reminiscing about Eating for Orange a little bit, our September campaign to help Feeding Westchester, working with 30-plus area restaurants on raising the awareness, using social media for good to raise the awareness about the 1 in 5 in Westchester County who are food insecure. So that was just a wonderful campaign. And I'm thinking about all of those amazing restaurateurs that helped out. And of course, all the people that supported the campaign. And I did make that $500 donation to Feeding Westchester in honor of all of you. So thank you so much. We have a lot to talk about on today's show. Switching gears a little bit here. There's a couple of really interesting articles about food coming up that I kind of want to discuss. I want to talk about the authenticity in food and also this new foie gras ban. Lots to talk about and unpack there. So stick around. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490. 90 WGCH. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Swimes, food lover and restaurant recommender right here in Westchester and Fairfield County, diving into all things delicious every Tuesday at 6 p.m. 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Of course, in between the show, you can always check out intoxicate.com and Intoxicate Foodie on Facebook and Instagram to check out all the latest and greatest. Now, I know we try to talk about everything that's super, super local, and I have something that I want to discuss that's not so local, but I always like to kind of keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the food industry as a whole, because things generally trickle down and come our way one way or the other, or, you know, they can just overall affect us. And Eater just posted this article this morning, really, really interesting article about what did authenticity in food mean in 2019. And they said about a decade ago, the word authenticity or authentic was the buzzword that kind of propelled people to seek out hole-in-the-wall taco joints or, you know, super amazing ethnic eateries and kind of post their exploits all over Yelp, of course. And you know already how I feel about Yelp. not a big fan. You know, all these different places kind of popped up with the promise of real ingredients from the specific country or specific cuisine over the quote unquote imposters you might find at your local grocery store. And, you know, it was almost, you know, kind of fetch, if you will, to like food that was authentic. And you were uncool if you weren't eating authentic food. So very interesting conversation about the authenticity in food and how this became kind of cliche and the language of, you know, foodies that were more concerned about appearing to have the correct tastes than doing any of the tasting. And the word kind of fell this year a little bit. Because it became this weaponized term, you know, what one person might feel is authentic, another person might not. And it was really kind of justified that you might find this kind of, you know, restaurant version of a specific cuisine versus if you went to that country and what they were making at home. And, you know, let's think about like Indian cuisine. You know, obviously there are some dishes out there that have been concocted to be more friendly for the general public. And you might be serving something totally different if you were a family living in India, you know, at home. So, you know, this juxtaposition between the two is kind of an interesting conversation. And the fact that authenticity is the word tied to this is really, really fascinating to me. And it's interesting for a couple of reasons, in my opinion. And this article on eater.com, I will post on Fork This with Intoxicate, or on intoxicate.com, and also on the Facebook page, because it is a very interesting read. And this, you know, it does speak a lot to how Foursquare and Yelp and some of these other apps kind of aided this search for the authentic and kind of shifted the conversation a little bit. But it's interesting to me in a couple of reasons. Like, if you think about food, it's really interesting if you really go back and look at various cultures and how foods came to be. And there are so many places that have been influenced by other countries. So if you really think about it, food, you know, specific cuisines have been influenced by other cuisines from day one, right? You know, obviously you can talk about local and what was seasonally available and locally available. And of course, that's how food started. You know, obviously you're not years and years and years ago, you weren't able to run to a grocery store and pick out whatever you want. You found what was in your own backyard and that's what you used. And there is plenty of credit to go with that. But as things changed in the history of the world, you know, things shifted and things, you know, moved around. And with that came different cultures and introductions to new ingredients. So it's interesting to be talking about this authenticity and be able to draw that line. Very, very, very interesting. And then is another facet of this conversation. You know, it's again really interesting to me that we're really primarily pushing this at restaurants in the restaurant industry because, you know, there is a lot of fusion cuisine out there and there's a lot of restaurants who call themselves Italian or, you know, gastropubs or, you know, and it puts them in this box. And I think that's a little unfair to chefs at some point because they might want to do something that's a little bit different. And it might be a huge hit with their clientele. And they might put that on the menu. And do I think that makes them not authentic? No. I think that actually makes them authentic to who they are and what they're trying to accomplish as a business owner and as a restaurant owner to try to make sure that they are challenged on a daily basis by their clientele to create something bigger and better for them without going too outside the box. Of course, I'm not talking about like, you know, an Italian restaurant all of a sudden serving ramen. But if they do serve something with an Asian flair, I think that's interesting, and I think that's remaining true to themselves and, you know, what they're looking to do. So just because it's not a hole-in-the-wall taco place doesn't mean that you're not being authentic. You know, I don't think, for me, I guess, as I'm thinking about this and speaking this to you, I think it's less about being authentic when it comes to food. It's less about being authentic to a particular cuisine and more about being authentic to a chef and a chef being their true authentic selves in the kitchen. Because if they are not their true authentic self, I don't think the food coming out is going to be their best food because they are losing passion and they're losing inspiration. So very, very interesting, you know, and I would love to hear your thoughts. So please feel free to reach out to me. Again, intoxicate.com, intoxicate foodie on social media. It's just so interesting to, you know, really dive into this. And I think that the one kind of huge impact that they are avoiding in this article, and I read through it, and I did not see any kind of mention. Well, there's a slight mention to it, is really Instagram. And authenticity with Instagram is very interesting to me. And I think that's the bigger conversation that I think needs to be had versus, you know, using this word in terms of reviews or posts on Yelp and Foursquare. I think authenticity in food is much more challenged in the Instagram space because you have a lot of people out there that are using apps to change the way something looks and to adjust color and tone. And you might see something really fabulous on Instagram and you want, you know, to order it, and you run to the restaurant and you order it, and the dish looks completely different. That, I think, is more a challenge of authenticity in terms of how restaurateurs are using influencers, are using their own accounts to entice people. And I think you have to be very authentic in that way. And I think an Instagram is the most is the platform where authenticity is easily abused. And I also think it's also about what is really authentically food on Instagram. You know, and I don't mean to be pointing fingers at anyone in, you know, specifically, but, you know, these oversized milkshakes with pieces of cake and cookies and candy glued to them, where it's this overabundance thing, you know, that gets huge Instagram coverage and likes and followers on that type of posts. And, you know, the oversized pizza and the oversized pretzels and, you know, all of these different things where we have to be bigger, better, and more Instagrammable, I think is where the stretch of the word authenticity is in most jeopardy. And when we come talk about food, the authenticity of food is most in jeopardy is in these photographs where we're so focused on getting the most amount of likes, and the most amount of eyes on something that we're not really focused on how something tastes or the ambiance of a restaurant or what it really means to have, you know, really fantastic homemade food. You know, it's just a little bit too much for me, I think, with, you know, these dramatic photos of food. I think really that's where the authenticity is a little bit lost for me. But I would love to hear your thoughts. I mean, maybe you're the type of person that loves going out and, you know, checking out those crazy foods and you really enjoy it. I would love to hear your thoughts. So definitely hit me up at intoxicate.com or intoxicatefoodie, of course, intoxicate with a K, on social media. And we can continue this conversation. But I think it was really interesting. I will post that really fantastic article on eater.com, and we can go from there. Now, when we get back, we are going to be talking about another little taboo topic that's noteworthy and newsworthy. The New York Times posted the end of October about the foie gras ban in New York City. So I'd like to dive into that as well. So listen, stick around. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGCH. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Flint, diving into all things delicious every Tuesday right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. We kick it all off at 6 p.m. and we have a great time doing it. And of course, in between the show, you can find information, news, and more on my platform, intoxicate.com, as well as Intoxicate Foodie on Facebook and Instagram. You know, we love chatting about all things local. And in our last segment, we were talking about some things that are happening more on the, you know, just food industry level, whether that be nationally or internationally. We talked a little bit about the word authenticity. Really interesting conversation. I would love to hear your feedback, and I would love to hear your feedback on this topic as well. And that is that in 2020, the New York City Council approved the foie gras ban, which will again take effect in 2022. And it's over animal cruelty. They're making this ban because they're saying it's cruel to the animals. And 1,000 restaurants in New York City will be affected. And I think it's really interesting for someone who loves foie gras. The New York City City Council overwhelmingly passed this legislation against it, on the ban of the sale of foie gras in the city, which is one of the country's largest markets, beginning in 2020. And it's basically joining California. California has also prohibited this for the sale of foie gras, which is basically the fat and liver of a duck or goose. And this is all over animal cruelty concerns. Now, the animal cruelty aspect aside, because I don't know enough about how they're, what the stance is on that to be speaking educationally about it or informatively about it. And I would love, I'm definitely going to find somebody to come on the show to talk about this. You know, I do. It does. The first instinct with reading this headline is totally just aghast, because I am a foie gras lover. I really do enjoy a nice foie gras. I enjoy a foie gras that is made in a lot of our area restaurants. And although this is a New York City ban and they haven't said anything about Westchester County, the fact of the matter is that it will wildly affect farms north of the city in Hudson Valley. For example, this New York Times article that I'm looking at right now mentions two in particular, the Hudson Valley foie gras and La Belle Farm in Sullivan County, who employ about 400 people. And say that New York City makes up about 30%, a third of their business. And, you know, specifically Hudson Valley said they sold about $15 million worth of foie gras last year. So I think it's really interesting to kind of understand this whole aspect, because I think when we think about something like this being banned, we immediately think about the restaurants. And, you know, of course, that's the title of the New York Times article. It's about, you know, the fact that it's served in 1,000 restaurants in New York City and how it's going to be banned in a couple of years. But there is this huge trickle-down effect, I think, that we often lose sight of when anything happens in the restaurant industry and how it affects the food industry as a whole, because now you're talking about this huge agricultural impact, based on this one ban. And again, you know, I'm trying to kind of put this particular, animal cruelty aspect aside, because I'm not saying that it shouldn't happen. I'm not saying that the ban shouldn't happen. I'm just trying to point out that when legislation affects the restaurant industry in particular, there is an incredible trickle-down effect to many different facets of business in our state. And I think that's really, really interesting to kind of understand and to kind of grasp. You know, I was speaking with someone who works at a lobbying firm recently, particularly with some restaurant clients in the city. And while we didn't particularly dive into the foie gras ban, we did talk about legislation as a whole and how it affects the restaurant industry. And at the time of the conversation, we were chatting about 28 different legislations that were up being decided on in Albany that specifically would impact the restaurant industry. And I think You may or may have not heard about the straw ban and how they want to get rid of straws, plastic straws in restaurants. And then what you might not have heard is that there is a particular group of people that have are challenged for sucking and cannot drink out of a paper straw because they have something impeding that able, you know, them able to do that. So they need the plastic straw because it has a better sucking power and are now against that. So now they have to carry both plastic and paper straws. It's incredible. It really is incredible the amount of legislation going on in the restaurant industry and particularly also in the staffing and service area with, of course, we should be protecting our servers and our servers' rights. But a lot of what's going on is really going to have a huge impact on restaurant owners and small business owners when it comes to this legislation being passed in the service industry. So, you know, we have to pay attention to these things. We have to start paying attention to these things because I know a lot of you walk into restaurants and I, you know, I have been guilty of doing this before and you may take a look at the cost of something and think, oh gosh, I could make this for a fraction of the price at home. And, you know, I am not one of those people that ever complains about that on a public platform, but some people are. And it frustrates me and it frustrates restaurant owners to no end because people aren't taking into account all of this legislation that's happening, all of the insurance that has changed and the benefits that restaurant owners and small business owners have to pay out to employees. You're not thinking about the rent. You're not thinking about the food costs. You're not thinking about the service costs. You know, all these factors that go into it. So it's really interesting, I think, and I think this is really what my focus is going to be for 2020 is, of course, we're going to talk about all these fun things and amazing things, and we're going to have great conversations with chefs. But I think we're also going to shift the conversation here on Fork This with Intoxicate. And we're really going to make sure that everyone is really well educated. You know, the restaurant industry has been really glamorized. And I think we're really going to start focusing on like kind of unfettered, unedited access and have really frank conversations with restaurateurs who I think are growing more and more frustrated because the conversation has shifted so much. You know, based on what maybe people see on TV or what they think the restaurant industry is, that, you know, everybody in the restaurant industry is rich. There's all these misconceptions. And I think if we work on changing that and changing the conversation, we'll see a shift on how we interact with each other and how we can be better clientele and our restaurants can better service. Because I think if we improve on that communication, it could only bring better things ahead. And I'm very curious to see what happens. You know, what happens when, you know, foie gras which some chefs are calling a craftsmanship ingredient, are going to, you know, how it's going to affect them in New York City specifically. And of course, how it's going to affect our farms in the Hudson Valley, because this is going to have just a pivotal impact, all around. So, let's, you know, again, start the conversation on this. If you got something to say, you want to, you know, dive into a little bit more, you feel like, yes, this is a great idea. You think, no, it's not a good idea. I would love to hear your thoughts. Hit me up on intoxicate.com. And of course, also Intoxicate Foodie on social media. We have to take a very quick break, but when we get back, we are going to be diving into some local fun stuff. We've got some events coming up, some news that you need to get the skinny on, and more. Keep it locked right here. You are listening to Fork This with Intoxicate on 1490 WGCH. Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I am your host, Intoxicate Kate Splunts. diving into all things delicious in Westchester and Fairfield County. And we have a bunch of things to discuss coming up. This is a very busy holiday season. I know that you have probably a ton on your to-do list, and you got to fit that all in between going to holiday parties and more. So let's get right to it. Now, the first thing I kind of want to dive into is the fact that Best of Westchester has just started voting for 2020. So you definitely want to head over to westchestermagazine.com. They've got the link there right at the top, and you can start the 2020 Best of Westchester voting. Now, this is a great way to give back and support your favorite local businesses and more, and of course, restaurants. Now, the restaurant voting is always a little bit different. I think there's so much voting for the restaurants that they need to kind of funnel it down a little bit. So you definitely want to pay attention to help your favorite restaurants, your favorite food, your favorite drinks make their way through Best of Westchester. You know, you kind of vote at the very beginning, and then they do a couple of rounds of additional voting for the people, the top four or five that made it through. So definitely check that out. Again, that's going to be at westchestermagazine.com. And again, it is a great way to really help focus and really give back to those restaurants that work so hard throughout the year for your patronage. So definitely check that out. And hey, while you are there, I'm going to ask you to vote for myself as a local restaurant, radio, I should say, a local radio broadcaster. It is number 11 under the media post. So definitely please vote for Kate. Enough with the selfish plug. I am going to move on to also let you know about something really interesting and another way you can help some local artisans put together some really amazing things. There's a group of men in Tarrytown called Maker Central. They're a community of makers crafting handmade goods for the home and for restaurants. They are amazing artists. And they do some pretty amazing things, which include everything from pottery, from wood crafts, charcuterie boards, serving platters, vases, just some really interesting stuff. You can check them out, Maker Central NY on Facebook, and they currently have a Kickstarter campaign. Now, as of right now, they have reached their goal, but they still have 53 hours to go, and they are really really trying to create much more than just a small business incubator. They are really trying to build a community. So they are really trying to set up the shop in the heart of Tarrytown, create a community of makers, extend far behind their doors, and have some really interesting give backs. Like if you, say you're going to donate $120, you get a live edge cutting board from Woodfire Food. I particularly decided to get a serving platter from Connor McKinn Studios. So very interesting, really great idea. If you feel like giving back and making a donation, it's really interesting because then you really almost automatically have a really wonderful holiday gift to give someone or a holiday gift to give yourself. So definitely check that out. I think it's really wonderful what they're doing. They really just a talented group of individuals making some really interesting things. And of course, it's all for the home and for restaurants, and it's really beautiful stuff. So definitely check that out as well. Also coming up this week, I will be heading over to New Rochelle to check out AJ's Burgers. I'm going to be doing a little photo shoot with AJ, with Alan, working on his food there. And I think we're going to have a little bit of a media event. So you got to stay tuned for that. You're going to get a nice influx, a nice push of amazing photography from our local influencers talking about all the amazing dishes and ambiance. And of course, Alan, we love him at AJ's Burgers in New Rochelle. Lots of fun going on there. So definitely stay tuned for that. I also on Thursday will be heading over to Chocolations in Mamaroneck. I love Maria Valenti of Chocolation. She's just an amazing artist, and the things that she does with chocolate is so, so cool. And I like to be a little bit innovative and give out really amazing corporate gifts. So I always hit up Maria for some delicious corporate gifts to give out this season. And it's very cool because she brands it for me. So everyone gets a very special Intoxicate edible gift every year around the holiday season. So I have come up with something really interesting, and I can't wait to share that with you. And I'm hoping that she can pull it off for me this year. She does every year, and I know she will this year too. And it should be interesting to dive into her and kind of collaborate and see what we can come up with. So stay tuned for that. And of course, if you're looking for a really great corporate gift or just a gift that you can't figure out what you want to get someone, definitely hit up Chocolations. You know, everyone loves chocolate. She's got sugar-free chocolate for those of you who might be following any kind of dietary restrictions, but she's got so much going on there. And you can personalize it, you can customize it to make sure that it's the perfect gift. So, you know, those teachers out there, a little box of bark or some of those divine truffles that she has are really great gift ideas. So definitely check out Chocolations in Mamaroneck. Now, we have a ton of really cool events coming up, and I want to kind of give you the lineup for all of them. There's so many interesting things going on this week and next week. Tonight, I will be at the Women's Club of White Plains starting at 6 p.m. for a little wine shopping and dinner for their holiday dinner and boutique. All proceeds are going to Operation Second Chance, helping heroes move on. They have a really great lineup of vendors. So I'm going to start my Christmas shopping. Well, I should say start. I should end my Christmas shopping. I've already started today with a little bit of shopping at the Women's Club of White Plains. I go to that every year. It's always so fun to see everybody. Also today, and kind of kicking off a couple of days throughout December, is the food truck market at Cross County Shopping Center. Of course, that's in Yonkers. They're doing a food truck market all holiday season long. The food trucks will be located on the green lawn near the pop-up ice skating rink in Santa's Village now through January 2nd. Food trucks will be open for lunch and dinner daily, and they have some really amazing food trucks lined up. From November 15th through the 6th, it's going to be a Layla's Crepe Station, Crazy Taco Mex, Westchester Burger Company, Three Little Pigs Barbecue of Hawthorne, Crafty Q, and Superlicious Food Truck in Yonkers. And then from December 12th through January 2nd, it's going to be Layla Crepe Station again, Walter's Hot Dogs, Sloppy Joe's, Waffle Box, A Beats Pizza, which is one of my favorites, and Max Food Truck NY, which is also one of my favorites. So you definitely want to check that out as well. It's always a really good time. And of course, you can make sure that you do a little holiday shopping while you're there. I feel like there's a theme going on here. Really fun event. Chutney Masala is hosting a cooking class this Saturday, December 7th. Should be a lot of fun for that. You want to check out Chutney Masala on Facebook for all of the details there. Also going on, you know, I haven't gone to this yet, and I'm dying to go. It's kind of food related a little bit, because I know that they do have food trucks there. But the Westchester's Winter Wonderland is going on with Westchester Parks Foundation at the Kensico Dam Plaza, of course, in Valhalla, New York. Really fun. It's returned for its sixth season. There is a Winter Wonderland Holiday Circus, a Funderland Village Ride. There's a Santa Experience at the North Pole, ice skating, food, and more. And that opened Friday, November 29th, and it will run through Saturday, January 4th. So if you're looking for a fun thing to do with the kids, put that at the top of your list. Really fun there. I love ice skating. I haven't done that in so long. Also, December 7th, the fourth annual Tosh Holiday Market is going to be at the Village of Tarrytown's Tree Lighting Festival. So if you want to pick up some nice food items, little farmer's market in the in the winter, you can certainly do that. That kicks off from 2 to 5:30 p.m. this Saturday, featuring 40 vendors, featuring artisan food, crafts, and holiday gifts. Really a lot of fun there. There's going to be fresh Christmas trees if you haven't picked yours up already, garlands, wreaths, swags, and more. And of course, Santa will be there from 2 to 4:45 p.m. so you can get some pictures with Santa. And speaking of Santa, you can have brunch with Santa at Stu Leonard's in Yonkers December 14th. Little brunch with Santa sounds like a lot of fun. They're going to be running this event a couple of times throughout the year or throughout the month. But you're going to enjoy a special holiday brunch with Santa, Rudolph, and their friends, Wow the Cow and Cynthia Chick. There's three seating times, 9:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 2:30 p.m. on December 14th and 15th. Now, this farm fresh menu will feature pancakes, sausages, eggs, home fries, fresh fruit, orange juice, and more. And then there'll be a little bit of pasta, chicken salad, assorted veggies and dip at the later hours. So each child will also be able to take a picture with Santa. So that is also a lot of fun. Lots of things to do in Westchester County, I have to say. A couple of things I also want to give you the skinny on. Hudson Social is having a brunch, which I think this is a brilliant idea. Hudson Social's in Dobbs Ferry, the Dobbs Ferry train station. They are having a boozy holiday brunch Sunday, December 15th. Which I think is a great idea. They're going to have a little bit of a la carte food specials, some drink specials, and the Chris Conte Trio playing your jazz favorites with a little bit of holiday music in there. So if you are someone who is like thinking, you know, hey, I got to get together with so-and-so and we got to catch up for the holidays, this is the perfect excuse to gather some friends and family to pause and be a little social at Hudson Social and enjoy their boozy holiday brunch. Of course, you can find more details on that, again, on the Hudson Social Facebook page. I think that's a great idea. That's from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m., again, on December 15th. Also going on, Lanesio in Ardsley. I love this idea. This just came across my desk. It is the first Christmas Eve menu that I have received. Really excited about that. So for the first time, Lanesio is going to be open for Christmas Eve, December 24th from 4 to 9 p.m. Now, Lanesio is one of my favorite Italian eateries. And of course, they're going to be doing some a la carte seven fishes style specials. Now, these include a seafood fra diavolo toast with clams, octopus, calamari, shrimp, and more, crispy calamari with graham cracker crust, arugula, and black garlic aioli. A parpadelle. I love their parpadelle. They make it fresh with Maine lobster, leeks, tarragon, and or tarragon cream. They're going to have a Faroe Island salmon. And for dessert, you cannot miss if when you go to Lanesio, always save room for dessert because Heather is one of the only pastry chefs in Westchester County. And she's got things like an eggnog panna cotta with cranberry biscotti, gingerbread cake pudding with a tiramisu cream, and a chocolate hazelnut fudge cake, yes, please, with Nutella mascarpone. So really, really great there. You do want to call. They're saying definitely call. Reservations are strongly suggested. So check out lanesiony.com for more information there. Really, really fun. Now to kind of, oh gosh, we're out of time already. That is so crazy. Today's show went by so fast. I hope it did for you as well. We will be back next Tuesday. We're going to be talking about seven fishes and some other Christmas traditions. We're going to be talking to some restaurateurs who will be open for Christmas and who will be serving up some really fun, amazing things for Hanukkah as well. So basically, you got to come back every Tuesday right here at 6 p.m. on 1490 WGCH and WGCH. I hope you enjoy the rest of the week and you live life deliciously.